الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه ما بعد. In today's short khatira, I wanted to discuss three reasons from the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises His help and His victory to us. Three reasons from the Quran that Allah promises His nasr, His victory and help. And these three reasons are, number one, in Surah An-Nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَيَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَقَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ الَّذِينَ إِنْ مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهُوا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. This is number one. وَلَيَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ. Allah's victory will be given to those who help Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's victory will be given to those who help Allah. What does it mean to help Allah? The very next verse illustrates that point. The helping of Allah doesn't need our help. The helping of Allah means doing anything and everything to help the cause of Allah, the religion of Allah. To be an embodiment of Allah's religion in your life and to spread it to other people in the best of manners. And that's why Allah says that those people who, if they had safety and security, الَّذِينَ أَمَّكَّنَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ, what would they do? أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ. They would pray regularly. In Mecca, they were persecuted. In Mecca, they had to hide for their prayer. In Mecca, they could not have jama'ah or jumu'ah. Allah says, if I were to give you power, if I were to give you peace and security, you will show your salah to everybody. Your salah will be a primary pillar of your society. That أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةِ. They would give their charity. وَأَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. They would command what is good. وَنَهُوا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And they would forbid what is evil. This is the first pillar of Allah's help. You help Allah. And helping Allah means establishing the religion of Allah. It means embodying the religion of Allah, practicing the religion of Allah, and then helping others by giving what is advice, commanding what is good, forbidding what is wrong. This is number one, that Allah will help those who help Him. وَلَيَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ. Allah is going to help those who help Him. And as we said, the help that we give to Allah is not to Allah. Allah doesn't need our help, but it is to the cause of Allah, the religion of Allah. This is number one. And it is the most important cause. Allah will not help those who are not faithful to Him. Allah will not help. Allah says in the Quran, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْرِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي. Allah has decreed, myself and my prophets shall be the winners. Myself and my prophets, we are the followers of the prophets. We are under this. We are the followers of the prophets. كَتَبَ اللَّهُ. Allah has decreed, لَأَغْرِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي. So in order to get Allah's help, we have to be on the side of Allah. We have to be helping the religion of Allah. And this means our iman and our salah and our rituals. Never underestimate. We need Allah's help in this difficult time. See what is happening in the world. See what is happening in our lands. We need Allah's help. So the number one mechanism, do not trivialize this. Our faithful in Allah, our iman and connection with Allah has to be strong. And by the way, this condition is so strong that even if the other two aren't fully met, still Allah's help will be given. And we see this in the lives of the Sahaba. We see this in the Battle of Badr. We see this in Qadisiyah and Yarmouk. We see this in how the Sahaba took on the superpowers of the time, which is the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire. And they managed to do what they did, even though they didn't have condition number three to the same level as we're going to come to. You already get a point of what number three is. So this is point number one, and that is iman and rituals. Never underestimate that. Point number two, Allah mentions in the context of the Battle of Badr and also the Battle of Uhud. Both of these come in here. Point number two, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Muslim unity. وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. Do not differ amongst yourselves. Do not break up into different factions amongst yourselves. If you do so, فَتَفْشَلُوا, you're going to lose your spirit. When we're bickering amongst ourselves, what's going to happen? And that's why in the Battle of Badr, When the Sahaba united against the Quraysh, they won. In the battle of Uhud, when they differed and a group broke away, the Munafiqun broke away and a turmoil happened, Allah says, حَتَّى إِذَا فَشِلْتُمْ وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Because you lost your hope and you differed amongst yourselves. That was the cause of the defeat of Uhud. So in Badr, Allah says, you were together, so you were given victory. In Uhud, Allah says, you split up, you fought amongst yourselves. They almost had a civil war. Some of the Sahaba wanted to pull their swords against the Munafiqun. And you know, it was a very tense time at that time frame. And Allah says, because of that differing, one of the main causes of the defeat of Uhud. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions explicitly in the Quran that all of us are in the mu'minuna ikhwa. All of us are one. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that wa'tasimu bihablillahi jami'an. All of you. Hold on to the rope of Allah together. And I just recited, Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida. This is your ummah. It is one ummah. And I am your Lord. So collectively come together to worship me. So the second mechanism. So the first mechanism is faith and our connection with Allah. The second mechanism is society. Second mechanism, community. Second mechanism is the people around us. We need to form Muslim unity. We need to come together as much as possible. We need to have quantity. So number one is that internal quality, right? Number one is our connection with Allah. Number two, quantity. Bring together as many people as you can for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where, of course, much can be said, not the time or the place, but I have given lots of lectures about this because the reality is, and again, because our timing of this era that we live in, our fitan are so many, I don't have the luxury of pretending as if this is not a controversial topic. This is the essence of our controversial issues. To what level can we unite with other people, with other groups? We are all aware, sitting here after Salat al-Isha, we're all aware that racial differences should not exist when it comes to Islamic unity. Correct? Even if there are racists in our community, but we know Islamically there shouldn't be, right? So nobody's going to justify divisions based upon race. Nobody's going to justify divisions based upon nation state. Even if there are tensions, we know that they shouldn't happen. So nobody's going to justify that. We all come together, despite our backgrounds, our skin colors, our languages, despite our differences in origin, our nation states, we are one ummah. Of course, the problem comes in this crowd. Of course, if I were in a different crowd, in a non-practicing crowd, maybe there, racial differences are a problem. Nation state is a problem. Indian, Pakistani, Bengali, Egyptian versus Lebanese or Syrian. Yes, there might be tensions. Or even which qabila are you from? Which section of Pakistan are you from? Yes, that happens in the non-practicing crowd. In the practicing crowd, if it exists, they know it's wrong. And they don't justify it Islamically. And they know this is something of jahiliyyah. So that's very clear. But in our practicing crowd, mashallah, we're sitting here in the masjid after Salat al-Isha, we have a different issue, which is far more technical. And it's not that easy to discuss. And that is the issue of different firaq. That is the issue of different groups. To what level do we unite with other Muslims that differ with us? And we are all aware there are extremes in this issue. I don't have time to go into a lot of detail, but I will explain to you in a nutshell my philosophy, take it or leave it. We are all aware that some people go to extremes. That if you pray like this, or like this, or like this, I don't like you. You're out of my saved sect of Islam. If you say Ameen, get out of my masjid. If you don't say Ameen, get out of my masjid. We're aware that there are people like this. And especially in some areas of the world, Muslims are divided into different masjids based upon Ameen or not, or no Ameen. Based upon where to put the hand. Based upon shoulder to shoulder, feet to feet, or distance between them. Alhamdulillah, by and large, here in North America, even if maybe some people back home were accustomed to that, when they come here, they realize we have to throw that out the window. We can't be that narrow-minded. Shafi'i, Hanbali, Maliki, come on. This is ridiculous. We're all the same ummah. So again, by and large, to this audience, inshallah, we all understand that, that's not a big deal. But then the problem comes theological differences, not fiqhi. And this is where it gets technical. And of course, we all have our views here. In my humble opinion, Clearly, we have to make a distinction between what level of cooperation. And this is, to me, the key point. Unfortunately, some people, they think that if you cooperate in one area, it means you're endorsing in all areas. And this is, I think, the fundamental problem. Allah does not say that we have to cooperate in every area. No, sometimes somebody's beliefs might be so different than mine, I don't want to invite him to give the khutbah. Because I disagree with, maybe they don't respect the Sahaba. So okay, I'm not going to invite him for the khutbah. Fine, because he has disagreement so much. But how about cooperating to come together to fight an Islamophobic candidate, to bring about our constitutional rights in this country? Can I cooperate with somebody whom I would not pray behind? That's really the question here. Can I politically cooperate with somebody whom I think is wrong in their aqidah? But they're still a Muslim. They're not outside the fold of Islam. And my position, which is the position, frankly, of the vast majority of ulama, salafan wa khalafan, really, if you look at it, is that of course you cooperate in that which the cooperation is justified in. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Ibn Taymiyyah, and he was somebody who was very, mashallah, yani he called a spade, he was very straight in what he believed. And he refuted almost every group, yani other than what he didn't like, even some of the Sufi groups, he didn't like them. Some of the other groups, he didn't like them. When the Mongols invaded, and you have Genghis Khan's grandson, Hulagu Khan, outside of Damascus, okay? In that battle, Ibn Taymiyyah was side by side with some of the people he was refuting in the books back in the day, okay? When there's a jihad going on and the Mongols are invading, when your lives are at stake here, at that point, you really have to move beyond, I disagree with your theology here. We have to come together for the common good of the community. And there are a million examples, past and present. I mean, our Prophet ﷺ took the help of even a non-Muslim, you know, Abdullah ibn Uraiqi, to guide him to Mecca. If you trust a person that they're going to come together for a greater good. So, وَتَعَاوَنُوا. There is no problem. You come together for the greater good, even if you disagree theologically. And this is something that is crystal clear. We have to learn to distinguish between types of cooperation. We also have to cut down and minimize the sectarianism that is rampant in so many places around the world. As we're all aware, last week in Afghanistan, a masjid was bombed on the day of Jumu'ah. 100 people were killed because they're a different type of Muslim. And people were justifying and saying they deserve to be killed. Subhanallah. Ali radiallahu anhu. Ali, and he was the Khalifa. The first split of Islam occurred in his time, and the group called the Kharijites, who were very extreme, very bizarre. They didn't believe in the Sunnah, actually. They didn't have books of Hadith. They don't have this. They have a totally different interpretation of Islam. They're neither Sunni or Shia, they're Kharijites, a different group. And they were very bizarre in their beliefs. Ali radiallahu anhu negotiated with them, sent them the greatest scholar alive, Ibn Abbas, to debate with them, to try to convince them. A large group convinced and came back, but one third remained, or some say half remained. So a group remained, and they said they're not going to convert back to mainstream Islam. They're going to remain upon their beliefs. Ali was the Khalifa, radiallahu anhu, of the Islamic State. He wasn't a governor. He wasn't a minority in America. He was the Khalifa. What did he say? Famous in every book of history, he says, if that is the case, we have no right to force them to change their belief as long as they don't harm other people. This is the Khalifa. And he says, you know what? I can't force you to accept my interpretation of Islam. You have your interpretation, you're praying, you're fasting. I can't fight you, I can't harm you. This is the Khalifa to a group that frankly is even more bizarre than many of the groups we have today. And he said, as long as you are peaceful and you don't hurt other people, I'm not gonna, you know, I have no right over you. He only attacked them when they began attacking other Muslims. Then he goes, we have to, because of violence here. So subhanAllah, brothers and sisters, wallahi, we have to be careful. Allah is telling us to unite. Allah is telling us to come together. This does not mean we endorse every group out there. It does mean we have to be pragmatic. We have to think. We have to strategize. And we will come together with groups we strongly disagree with for a greater good, even if we will not come together for other things. As I said, I will not invite somebody to the masjid who curses the Sahaba. I will not invite this. And I personally will not pray behind that person. But for other factors, political factors, yes, we come together and we have a greater good. This is the second point. And yes, Allah's Nasr will come because quantity is a factor. We need quantity when we do something. And then the third and final factor. Allah says in the Quran, وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ. Prepare yourselves individually, your own strengths, physical strengths. The first was spiritual strength. The second, community and quantity. And the third, your own physical strength. You need to be prepared. You need to have the techniques, the mechanisms. You need to know what to do. In the battlefield, the actual techniques of fighting are known. In our times and places, the techniques of PR, of media, of public awareness, of campaigning. This is أَعِدُّ لَهُمْ, to prepare for them. So Allah is saying, have a plan. Be prepared for that plan. Master that plan. This is the three-step technique of Allah's help coming down. Number one, your own iman, your own taqwa, the quality of your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make that number one. Number two, come together as much as you can. And I said there are circles of cooperation. The more important or theological, the narrower the circle. For salah, for khutbah, very narrow. But for politics, we can even get the help of a non-Muslim politician. As our Prophet ﷺ got the help, I gave a lecture right here, Mutab ibn Adi and others, he got the help of a non-Muslim politician. We can come together because we do need quantity. And then point number three, each one of us has a talent. We nurture that talent, we master that talent, and we make sure we're good at it. And then inshaAllah ta'ala, collectively, Allah's nasr will come. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us throughout all of these difficult times. We ask Allah azza wa ta'ala that we are on His side. We want to be on the hizb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah for His mercy, for His hidayah. We ask Allah to allow us to be beacons of virtue and role models of taqwa, and to be resurrected with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Innal muslimina wal muslimati wal mu'minina wal mu'minati wal qanitina wal qanitati was sadiqina was sadiqati was sabirina was sabirati wal khashi'ina wal khashi'at والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما.